I was going to talk tonight about the Holy Spirit and how we need the Holy Spirit, how we have to have Him, and how we need Him in order to be thankful for all things, the way we talked about in Sunday school this morning. So we read kind of two extremes from the two verses that we read. Acts 1:8, "You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you." So the apostles had just seen Christ risen, and He was about to ascend back into heaven. And He said, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and you will receive power. And then that other verse we read from the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians, "Quench not the Spirit." There's an extreme there. There's a spirit that is a fresh anointing, that people are ready to be used by God, that want to serve God. And then there's a point we can get to our life where we have to remind ourselves, don't quench that spirit. Don't hold back that power. Most of us find ourselves somewhere in the middle there, and as I was already prayed tonight, we want the Holy Spirit to have control of our lives, and as pastors preach many times, it's not that the Holy Spirit we're getting a little bit at a time. We're not getting a little bit of the Holy Spirit at a time. We get all of Him, but it's how much of us does the Holy Spirit get? How much of our life, how much control does the Holy Spirit have? And if we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit and to quench not the Spirit, then it is something that we have to give over and yield on a regular basis. Again, we covered it a little bit in Sunday school. I'm going to review a little bit of that and talk about the Holy Spirit's work in our life as a Christian on a daily basis. I've heard a sermon illustration. I've heard it a few times. I think I've shared it before, but a pastor gave the illustration of workers in a firehouse. Okay, so everybody that worked at the firehouse, their chief responsibility was to put out fires. If the call came in, there's a fire, everybody had a job, they all got on the truck, and they did their best to make sure that fire was put out. But there wasn't always a fire. There was times when they were at the firehouse, and they had other responsibilities, and they said, well, since we're going to be here during this time, and he would pick out several people and say, all right, you're going to be in charge of keeping the floor clean, because when there is a fire, we need to be able to move fast and not trip over everything. And they said, all right, you're going to be in charge of making the coffee, because most everybody needs coffee to stay alert. And then another guy, they said, all right, you're going to make sure there's always gas in the fire truck, because that'd be real embarrassing if there was a fire and we all jumped in the truck and there was no gas. And then this other guy, make sure that the water tanks are ready. And so he made all the assignments. And then he went back to the first guy and he said, all right, what's your job? And the man answered, well, I'm supposed to sweep the floor. And he said, no, you're a firefighter. Your job, your duty is to put out fires. Anything else that you have to do is ancillary to that, is extra. That's what you do when you have extra time. That's what you do to help the overall mission. But your chief duty, your chief aim in your job in saving lives is to put out fires. And as Christians, we can say, well, some of us are teachers. Some of us can sing. Some of us have different callings and responsibilities, and we do them over and over again. But sometimes in our Christian life, in our day-to-day life, we lose sight of what God has called us to do. And one of the main things, not the tidying up when there's extra time and not making sure there's coffee, one of the main things that God commands us over and over again is to be filled with the Spirit of God. So we're going to talk about it for a couple minutes. Don't be alarmed. I stuck my notes in the back of my choir binder. it's only a couple pages. The Holy Spirit is the one that God uses to give us power. We read Acts 1:8, "You shall receive power." The Holy Spirit is the one that God gives to comfort us. Jesus called Him the Comforter. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible, the Spirit of God. Brother Walt read it at Senior Saints. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God's Spirit wrote the Bible. God spoke it, and the Holy Spirit caused men to write it down. It has a daily need in our life. So if we go a day without asking the Holy Spirit to fill us, without removing the temptations, removing the obstacles, there was something that needed to be done that was not accomplished because the Holy Spirit could not work through us. And we come to this time of year, a time to be thankful in all things. We cannot do that if we don't have the Holy Spirit and we're not quenching Him. Again, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And some of us may not have that temptation to be drunk with wine, but there's other things that we put into our life that take the Holy Spirit's place. Some of us, it's not that temptation. It's other things, other distractions that we put in God's place. The Holy Spirit is the one that leads us. In the book of Romans, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives us power. It's the one that gives us freedom and liberty. In 2 Corinthians, it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So we could look at that and say, well, of course I want all those things. Of course I want God to guide me. Of course I want God's power on my life. Of course I want liberty. I want the freedom to do not whatever our flesh desires, but the freedom to live under God's grace, to live in the freedom of doing what is right and serving God. The Holy Spirit is the one that changes us. In 2 Corinthians, changed into the same spirit, into the same image by the Spirit. We talked about it in Sunday school, that the longer we stay, the longer we are in Christ, the more like Him we should become. We should emulate Him more and more. It should be a closer copy. We should be a closer transformation the longer that the Holy Spirit has work in our life. And we can stagnate, we can backslide, and we can go back and say, what? You know, I should be further along in my Christian life, but I need that filling again. Again, we talked about it in weeks past, about the gifts of the Spirit, being able to discern, exhorting, ministering, the faith and the patience and long-suffering. And again, it is not enough if it comes from us. All of us have a limit, a fleshly limit, and the Holy Spirit is the one that lets us go beyond that limit. When the Bible gives us the fruit of the Spirit, it says, against such there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And it talks about if we allow the Holy Spirit to direct us, to guide us, we will not hit that point of offense. We will not hit that point of, I can't do anymore. I have no more patience. I have no more love. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that provides what we need in order to minister to other people. So I hope tonight I'm preaching to everybody here tonight is a believer in Christ, has accepted Christ as their Savior, and has made it an availability for the Spirit to fill them because they are a Christian. I hope that's true. If it's not true, we can show you from the Word of God. It's not anything that a man can do. It's what Jesus did when He died for our sins, shed His blood, rose again. And that act that Christ did for us gives us the opportunity to be filled with the Spirit and to receive that power. So hopefully we all want to be a Christian, a saved person, a Christian that wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There will be times where we feel guilty, where we get discouraged. There'll be times where we are angry or we worry, and we have to decide what kind of Christian we want to be that day. And again, I confess every time I'm up here, I confess, but there are days when I am not fully trusting God. And there are when I get to the end of the day, I can look back at choices I made, words I said, things I did, and say that was not the Holy Spirit. That was all Adam. That was nothing like the Holy Spirit should have been. Examples in our own life. The Holy Spirit should be our sounding board. He should be the person that we vent to. He should be the person that we run our decisions by before we act on them. And He should be the translator. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us to the Father. But the Holy Spirit is a real good interceder for us as humans and Christians working together. Husbands and wives can be an example of this. There have been plenty of times where I thought something happened and I had to go explain it to my wife and then she had to explain to me what actually happened because I was wrong. But, and sometimes I get to do that for her, not as often, but there's plenty of times, you know, we have to give a different perspective. And we always need the Holy Spirit to do that or we're getting a lot of trouble. We'll say, well, this is what it looks like to me, and we won't pray about it. We won't ask the Holy Spirit for help. And we'll do it in our own strength. And then we'll get to the end of that day and say, no, that wasn't the Holy Spirit. That was just me. So it is a needful thing. It is something that we have to do. If the Apostle Paul had to command that we do it, if Scripture over and over again tells us it needs to be done, we have to do it on a continual basis. All right, so the verse in Ephesians, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Talks about a continuous, being filled is a continuous command. So over and over and over again. It's like almost everything else in life. You cannot do it once and not do it again. I used to sit sometimes and watch infomercials, and there'd be the guy that was trying to sell that rotisserie chicken thing, and he'd say, all you have to do is set it and forget it. Set it and forget it. Well, almost nothing in the Christian life is that way. You can't just set it and forget it. Almost everything in the Christian life is maintenance. It's I'd better keep my eye on that. I better get back in line with the Word of God, because our tendency, we're prone to wander. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Our tendency is to get off track. So we can't just put it there and say, well, Holy Spirit, fill me. I'll check in with you 10 years from now and make sure everything is good. No, it has to be a daily thing to be continuously filled with the Spirit of God. Not because there's something wrong with Him, but there's plenty wrong with us. We're not going to stay in that same yielded position. People are going to frustrate us. We're going to have things come up, and we're not going to stay in that position of receiving the filling of the Holy Spirit. Again, it's needful to us. It's needful for salvation, but it's needful for each and every day. Think of a ship that is sailing on the water. It is depending on wind to carry it along. Even when the Bible says the holy men of old were moved by the Holy Spirit, it talks about every word that they wrote needed to be delivered to them, and it needed to be refilled and told to them as they wrote it down. And many times we let that fear and we let that worry keep us from yielding to the Holy Spirit. So real quick, we're going to say, Holy Spirit, I want you in my life. How do I practically do that? The Bible says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. This is an easy one for me to illustrate. We're coming up on the one day a year when it's okay to be gluttonous. Not really, but we tell ourselves it's all right. Thanksgiving Day, we're going to enjoy the blessings of God. You know, we're going to loosen our belts and we're going to eat too much. A person that desires to be filled first decides that they're hungry. Okay, so that's deep. I'll say it one more time. A person that wants to eat enough to get full has to decide that they're hungry. I know many of you have said when we have a fellowship, a potluck, you'll say, my eyes were hungrier than my stomach. You always fill up your plate and then say, who got all this food on my plate? But there was a time when you were standing in that line, you were hungering and thirsting, and you said, I need everything on this plate. Now, we can do that with food, but we should also do that when it comes to the things of God. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And again, we can fill up our plate on this. We can never get too much. And we can say, you know, God, I desire it. I'm hungry. I want that. I want the Spirit to fill my life. And again, use that example of eating. When you really are seriously ready to eat, you make sure you got a big plate. You get to sit down for Thanksgiving dinner. You don't want a wimpy paper plate that's going to fall apart. You want a good plate. You want a good fork and a spoon and a cup. And you want everything prepared because you're going to eat a good meal. I hope all of you enjoy your Thanksgiving dinner. But when you come to a time of yielding to Christ and yielding to the Holy Spirit, it should be the same way. All right, I've cleared my plate. I've made preparation. I've got a place I want to pray. I have things I want to pray about. I have the desire to meet these needs that I feel God's called me to do. This is what needs to be filled. Holy Spirit, I need your help in these areas. I got a friend that has never heard about Jesus, and I've been burdened to talk to them. Holy Spirit, I got an empty plate. I need you to fill it. I got children that look up to me. I got a husband or a wife, or I got somebody that's looking to me for an example, looking to me for love and attention, and I'm not enough. I have an empty plate. I need it full. I need that desire. I need that hunger and thirst and say, this isn't going to work. I desire this. I need it. The Bible says that our agreeing with God, we get hung up on words, but to confess, agree with God about those things that are keeping you from being filled with the Spirit. The Bible says, confess your sin. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Again, I'll use the same example. You get something on your plate and you say, I'm hungry, but I'm not hungry for that. I wish I hadn't put whatever, insert that thing that you don't like. I wish I hadn't put that on my plate. I wish I had more room for the thing that I really like and the thing that I really need. That's what sin is. Sin is agreeing with God that there's something on your plate that shouldn't be there. Sin is agreeing with God that you made a selfish choice and you put something in your life that God told you you shouldn't have. And a lot of things that we try to put in our life, God has a time and a place for those things, but the sin is not trusting God. The sin is saying, I can handle it myself. There's plenty of examples where you just say, well, I think God would give this to me, so I'm going to give it to myself. I think God wants me to be happy, so I'm going to do this thing to make myself happy. And we take whatever that thing is, and we put it on our plate, and then God says, I want to bless you, I want to fill you, and there's something in the way. So we have to confess, we have to agree with God when it comes to our sin. And there's plenty to choose from. The ones that we get hung up on the most are we fail to forgive, we get bitter, and we take whole chunks of our life and say, well, Holy Spirit, you're not allowed there because I have stuff I haven't dealt with there. You're not able to work there because I'm not acknowledging that as sin. Until we acknowledge that sin and get it out, the Holy Spirit can't use that part of our life. The Bible says if we confess our sin, he'll forgive us. The Bible says we should hunger and thirst after it. And the Bible tells us to yield ourselves unto God. In Romans 6, it says, yield yourselves to God. Whatever you are going through, the things that you have in your life, if they're right and they're good, they should still be yielded to God. In other words, you could have seemingly good things in your life, but if they're not in the will of God, they're hindrances. I think about people that they want to serve God in a deeper way. They want to pursue an education or go somewhere, become a missionary. And there might be plenty of good things in their life that would talk them out of it. They'd say, well, no, I have all these commitments. I have all these people counting on me. And they would not respond when the Holy Spirit led them. So it's not just yielded enough to get rid of what we know is sin. It's yielded enough to follow in faith and yield to God. Let God be the driver and let him make the decisions. And again, it's a continual thing. We can't say, I got enough and I'm good. We have to stay filled. We do that through God's forgiveness, through his mercy, and through his grace. Again, God is patient and he will work with us. If I always say this to the kids, God doesn't have any perfect specimens to work with. The only people he has to work with are sinners. We're saved by grace, and the only people God has to do his will are less than what he is. The only reason we can do anything for him is because he enables us to do it. As far as filling, fill yourself with the Word of God. I think we talk about it, I know it's Sunday night, but if there's an opportunity, as Pastor was mentioning, if there's an opportunity to get a little bit more of the Word of God, you should take that opportunity. It means coming on Christmas Day, on Wednesday night, on Christmas Day, if that's an opportunity that God's given you, and if you're able to come, say, well, God gave me that opportunity to learn something, that maybe hear it a different way, to study it a different way, to learn from God's Word. We do this in other areas. We remind ourselves, I talked about it this morning, we make reminders in our life and say, well, I need the Word of God. I should remind myself to do it. I know we take our vitamins, we put them in a little, put a little box. So we take one every day. Or I got a calendar, I got an alert that goes off. My kids have songs for everything. So I don't know if you have young kids or you're around them every now and then, we'll hear the Baby Shark song. And you can't just hear it one time, you have to hear it over and over again. Right now, Anna is stuck on the Cubbies song. And she will sing it, but you can never just hear it one time. She has to sing it 3, 4, 5 times. And if we would desire to have God's Word in our life, we would use it in the same way those songs get stuck in our head. We'd make a reminder. We would say, my thoughts, my actions are not what they should be. And I know that God's Word gives me what I need. I need to make that a habit in my life. And say, I need a reminder. Put it up on the wall. Put a sticker on your bathroom mirror. Or put it where you will see it. I'll put it in the refrigerator. But you put it somewhere where you see it every day. And say, I need to pray. I need to yield to God. Because if I don't, I'm going to get to the end of the day, and I have regrets, and I'll be able to point and say that's where the Holy Spirit was not evident in my life. Again, we read that other verse. The other extreme, quench not the Spirit. Hopefully none of us are there, but we probably get there every now and then where we tell the Holy Spirit to not involve himself in parts of our life. In Ephesians, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Someone that is grieving, they're not thinking about anything else. They're not thinking about their next meal. They're not thinking about sports or anything going on in the world. They're in grief. They're not able to focus on anything going around them because they're truly grieved. Someone that's sobbing and crying. If we get to that place in our life where we've grieved the Holy Spirit of God, he can do nothing. We have allowed him no access to our life. It's like a person that is deep in grief. He's not able to lead us because we have grieved him. We have quenched his working in our life. The opposite of that is to walk in the Spirit, and that's in Galatians. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And again, it's a daily thing. Say, Holy Spirit, I want your presence in my life. I want to reckon myself dead. That's when in Romans, use that word, reckon. To regard it and consider it and decide I'm going to be dead to sin and I'm going to be dead to the bondage of sin and I'm going to reckon myself alive unto Christ. I'm going to decide who I need. I'm going to decide who I follow. And I'm going to decide on those things that are useless and that are harmful to me. Again, if you heard the Sunday school lesson this morning, we went through a list of how to not quench the Spirit. And again, when it comes to our thanksgiving, we'll read real quick. It says in 1 Thessalonians, be long-suffering, follow that which is good, comfort one another, edify one another. We talked about loving each other as we work together with fellow believers in the church. And again, it's hard to criticize somebody that you're working with, that you're depending on. It's hard to be a gossip, and it's hard to get bitter against somebody that shows up and wants to serve God with you. We're supposed to deal with those that are going through a tough time, the feeble-minded and the unruly, and even those that sow discord. We're supposed to pray for every person, rejoicing evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. And all those things help us say, well, I'm not going to quench the Spirit today because I'm going to do these things. Again, the Holy Spirit is what gives us the power. The Holy Spirit is what gives us the ability to give the gospel to someone else. You shall receive power after that. The Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. That's our immediate area, and in Judea and in Samaria. That's everywhere else, under the uttermost part of the earth. Say, I can only do that. I can only be a witness, even to my closest of family, my closest of friend. I can only do that if I have God's power, and I need that in my life. I can only do what God has asked me to do. I can only do God's will if I have the Holy Spirit and I'm yielded to him. So it should be an everyday thing. It should be, when we get to the end of the day, we can say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the path that you led me on. I didn't even understand what was happening at the time. I saw it the wrong way. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving me the wisdom and the discernment that I needed. Thank you for the power. And when we can say we're thankful in all things, it's when we can see the Spirit working in all parts of our life. We're going to pray in just a minute, and we're going to have a time of invitation. Again, if you've never trusted Christ, if you are trusting in something else, somebody else, yourself, you're trusting in anything besides what Jesus did when he died on the cross and rose again, we can show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure you have a home in heaven. And then if you're a Christian, let's stay as close as we can to the receiving power and as far away as we can from quenching the Spirit. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy to us. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that we get all that we can get of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that we give all that we can of ourselves over to him. That if we stumble, if we get calloused, if we get bitter, that we'd say, that's a part God can't use. I pray that we confess that sin, that we confess that and agree with you, and clear it off our plate and say, no, I need room for some goodness. I need room for some love and some mercy, and I need to get that out of my life. So I pray, Lord, that we, as we go into Thanksgiving, that we truly would be thankful for all things, that we'd honor you with every area of our life, that we would yield, that we'd quench not the Spirit, and that we'd be filled with the Spirit. Bless our invitation tonight. I pray if anybody needs to make a decision or just need to respond to anything that you burden on their heart, they'd have that opportunity to do that. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.